Selfishness is one of those sins that starts pretty much as soon as we're old enough to interact with other human beings. It is perhaps one of the most common, most pervasive, and most destructive sins out there. Question is, how do you overcome it? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Perspective. And stay tuned, because at the end of today's program, I'll be sharing with you how you can receive a special gift, a resource that I believe will help you eliminate the stubborn sin in your life. Selfishness is a word that we're all too familiar with, but I wonder how often we stop to think about what it actually means. Selfishness. It's about our tendency to put ourself first, our needs, our plans, our reputations, before other people. Problem is, we notice when other people are being selfish. We notice when they put themselves before us and their own interests before ours. But we rarely notice when the shoe's on the other foot. We rarely notice when it's us being selfish. In fact, for most of my life, I never once considered myself to be selfish, when the reality was that self was all I was interested in. How about you? How often do you think of yourself being selfish as opposed to other people being selfish toward you? Well, that's why selfishness is such an insidious sin. It rears its ugly head all too often without us ever even really noticing that we're being selfish. And this putting of self above and before other people, it takes so many different forms. Whenever my interests are more important to me than your interests, the easiest thing in the world is to put mine before yours. And that's what we call selfishness. Over the last week and a half or so on the program, we've been chatting about overcoming stubborn sin once and for all. And I know there are a few people who might squirm at this little word that we use, sin. I used to. I thought of it as being an outdated, irrelevant, judgmental religious term that, frankly, belonged in the lexicon of those doddering old people I saw wandering in and out of those places called church. And that is a deception that the devil was happy for me to live with for so many years. But sin, it's a very simple concept. It's falling short of all the good and wonderful things that God has planned for our lives. It's missing the whole point. And the point is that God wants us to enjoy Him and to worship Him and to glorify Him with our lives. That brings such a great source of delight and wonder and peace and joy to us. It's the way things were meant to be, now and for all eternity. Through every up and every down, every mountaintop experience, and every trial and temptation and hurt that this world has to offer. And so those sins that are particularly stubborn, those that keep coming back again and again and again, they are Satan's messengers sent to torment us, to try and rob us of the abundant life that God has planned for us. And this one, selfishness, is one that so many people suffer from. It's one that used to be right up there on the top of my hit list too. I couldn't see what was wrong with it either. I worked hard, I applied myself, and I'm this outcome-focused person who drives hard at life to achieve what I set out to achieve. My agenda, my success, my way, or the highway. So what's wrong with getting my way? If other people want to get their way, well, they should be like me, otherwise tough, right? That's the world's template for success. Climb over whoever you have to climb over. Roll over the top of whoever you have to roll over. Crash through whoever you have to crash through to get to where you're going. And here's how it changed for me. There were two parts. One had to do with my heart, the other with my hands. In other words, one part of change had to do with my motivation, and the other part had to do with my practical doing, how I lived that out. I was always after greatness. I wanted people to recognize who I was, to recognize my achievements. And I, like most of the rest of the world, thought that what that was about was me getting my way and other people standing back going, wow, isn't he great? See, that's a deception. It doesn't work that way. Jesus, in what theologians call the Great Denunciation, Matthew chapter 23, it's where he rips into the religious leaders of the day, people who are selfish and ripping off those who are in their charge, right in the middle of his vehement argument against the hypocrisy and their selfishness. This is what he says, Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. Jesus says, look, the greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. I thought about that a lot, and the truth of that first sentence started to really do its work in my heart. God has that habit, you know. He takes the truth in his word, and his word is so powerful that all of a sudden it takes root in your heart, and God starts to use it and work through it. Listen to it again. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11. The greatest among you will be your servant. I thought about it. The greatest people in my life, the ones whom I truly value and honor and respect, are the ones who have served me more than all the others. A man called Graham, he was a colonel in the army when I was a young captain. Together, Graham and I and another man called Mark, we left the army and formed a consulting firm in the information technology industry. Now, Graham is not only intellectually one of the smartest people I know, but he has a deep wisdom about life, about dealing with other people, about all sorts of things. Now, he's 20 years my senior, and over a period of 17 years when we worked together in this consulting firm, he was my mentor. He was my teacher. He taught me how to listen. He taught me how to not roll over the top of people. He taught me how to influence instead of control. He taught me any number of things. And many of those, in fact, come out through these radio programs day after day all these years on. He served me for 17 years, even when I was young and precocious, even when I didn't deserve it. Ask me who are amongst the greatest people in my life, and he's right up there. Once I figured out the deep truth of what Jesus is saying here, the greatest among you will be your servant, my motivations changed. And then it was time to live that out minute by minute, relationship by relationship, interaction by interaction. And here's what I discovered when I took my selfishness out of the equation, when I no longer had to win every time and get my way every time. All of a sudden, life became much easier. James chapter 3, verse 16 says this, "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." And that's absolutely right. Take away the selfishness, and instead of disorder and wickedness, what you get 9 times out of 10 is peace. Once I learned to collaborate instead of obliterate, wow, what a great way to live life. And you know why ultimately selfishness has become one of the easiest of my stubborn sins to give up? You know why? Because the rewards are so great and they're pretty much instant. Stop the selfishness and conflict reduces, peace increases, relationships improve. And after a while, it's easy to get addicted to those rewards. I wonder if it isn't what God planned all along. Have a listen to a bit more from James chapter 3. "For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, then willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." When we give up our selfishness, what we instead end up doing is sowing peace. And God's promise here through his word is that when we sow peace, the harvest and the reward that we get is peace. Giving up selfishness really works. Peace is so important. It's what this program's all about, helping each one of us to see things from a different perspective, God's perspective, to bring his peace and his grace and his mercy and his joy into our lives. Here's the thing. You don't have to look very far to see that sin is common. It's common in every part of the world, but it's not normal. God's plan is not for you and me to continue to live out our lives wallowing in the consequences of our sins. Because Jesus came to set us free. He came to set you free. He came to set me free. You may have to listen to each message in this series or read the full transcript of the message. Click on the A Different Perspective icon at the bottom of the homepage and you'll see the messages right there. You can stream them, you can download them, you can even cut and paste the transcript if that's what you want to do. I want to see you blessed by God's word. So visit us at ChristianityWorks.com. And don't forget to leave your comments so I can respond to you. I'm Bernie Diamond. It's been great to have this time together. I'd like to catch up again same time tomorrow as we take another look at overcoming stubborn sin from a different perspective.